जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे, हरे हरिनाम संकीर्तन की ग्रंथरा श्रीमद भागवतम की शिल प्रभुपाद की ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुधीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः नमो पंकजनाभाय नमो पंकजमालिने नमो पंकजनेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांग्रे हरे कृष्ण रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 9 एंटाइटल्ड द पासिंग अवे ऑफ भीष्मदेव वी आर रीडिंग टेक्स्ट नंबर 27 Please respond. Dana Dharman Raja Dharman Moksha Dharman Vibhagashah Stri Dharman Bhagavad Dharman समास व्यासयोगतः दानधर्मान् राजधर्मान् मोक्षधर्मान् विभागशः स्त्रीधर्मान् भगवद्धर्मान् समास व्यासयोगतः दानधर्मान् राजधर्मान् मोक्षधर्मान् विभागशः स्त्रीधर्मान् भगवद्धर्मान् समास व्यासयोगता Matajis. Word meaning, dana dharman, the acts of charity, rajadharman, pragmatic activities of the kings, moksha dharman, the acts for salvation, vibhagasha, by divisions, stri dharman, duties of women, Bhagavad Dharman, the acts of the devotees, Samasa, generally, Vyasa, explicitly, Yogataha, by means of. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. He then explained by divisions, acts of charity, the pragmatic activities of a king and activities for salvation. Then he described the duties of women and devotees, both briefly and extensively. Purport. We will continue from where we left off yesterday, which is the fifth paragraph. The fourth paragraph we'll start. Purport by Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The king had to see that the reserved energy of humanity was properly utilized. Human energy is meant not exactly for fulfilling animal propensities, but for self-realization. The whole government was specifically designed to fulfill this particular purpose. As such, the king had to select properly the cabinet ministers, but not on the strength of voting background. The ministers, the military commanders, and even the ordinary soldiers were all selected by personal qualification. And the king had to supervise them properly before they were appointed to their respective posts. The king was especially vigilant to see that the tapasvis or persons who sacrificed everything for disseminating spiritual knowledge were never disregarded. The king knew well that the Supreme Personality of Godhead never tolerates any insult to his unalloyed devotees. Such tapasvis were trusted leaders even of the rogues and thieves who would never disobey the orders of tapasvis. The king would give special protection to illiterates, the helpless and widows of the state. Defense measures were arranged previous to any attack by the enemies. The taxing process was easy and it was not meant for squandering, but was for strengthening the reserve fund. The soldiers were recruited from all parts of the world and they were trained for special duties. As far as salvation is concerned, one has to conquer the principles of lust, anger, unlawful desires, avarice, and bewilderment. To get freedom from anger, one should learn how to forgive. To be free from unlawful desires, one should not make plans. By spiritual culture, one is able to conquer sleep. By tolerance only, one can conquer desires and avarice. Disturbances from various diseases can be avoided by regulated diets. By self-control, one can be free from false hopes and money can be saved by avoiding undesirable association. By practice of yoga, one can control hunger and worldliness can be avoided by culturing the knowledge of impermanence. Dizziness can be conquered by rising up and false arguments can be conquered by factual ascertainment. Talkativeness can be avoided by gravity and silence. And by prowess, one can avoid fearfulness. Perfect knowledge can be obtained by self-cultivation.
One must be free from lust, avarice, anger, dreaming, etc. to actually attain the path of salvation. As far as the women class are concerned, they are accepted as a power of inspiration for men. As such, women are more powerful than men. Mighty Julius Caesar was controlled by a Cleopatra. Such powerful women are controlled by shyness. Therefore, shyness is important for women. Once this control valve is loosened, women can create havoc in society by adultery. Adultery means production of unwanted children known as Varna Sankara, who disturb the world. The last item taught by Bhishma Dev was the process of pleasing the Lord. We are all eternal servants of the Lord, and when we forget this essential part of our nature, we are put into material conditions of life. The simple process of pleasing the Lord, for the householders especially, is to install the deity of the Lord at home. By concentrating on the deity, one may progressively go on with the daily routine work, worshipping the deity at home, serving the devotee, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, residing in a holy place and chanting the holy name of the Lord, are all inexpensive items by which one can please the Lord. Thus the subject matter was explained by the grandfather to his grandchildren. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Etkripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanyam Nishwaram Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pachatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna. We welcome all devotees to our Sunday morning program, especially the Bhagavatam class. Thank you all devotees for coming. We have some very special announcements before we begin discussing today's verse. The coming Friday is Gaur Purnima festival. So we have a special Chaitanya Charitamrita marathon, which is beginning from today, where we will be giving Chaitanya Charitamrita at half 50% discount. So the English Chaitanya Charitamrita, I think it costs 3,650 rupees, but after 50% discount, for the next 7 days, it will be available at 1,825 rupees. So same 50% concession is there for Hindi, Gujarati, Marathi, Tamil, Telugu, Odia, Bengali and Kannada. I will not read all the prices, you understand, whatever it is. Like for example, Hindi is 2,400, so it will be available for 1,200 rupees. So like that. So we can avail of this facility and help spread the knowledge of Chaitanya Charitamrita everywhere. If you already have a copy, you can take it now to gift it to others. So this is one. And second is a very special announcement for the pleasure of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ji and all the Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada's 125th anniversary celebration we are having. For the last 1 year we are celebrating. So as a part of this celebration, we have an art exhibition of Srila Prabhupada's paintings. This has been organized And there is also the launching of book illustration, a book called Illustrations and Illuminations, which will be basically Prabhupada's paintings. And this will be on from the 15th March onwards, which is I think Tuesday, no? Coming Tuesday, 5 p.m. onwards. This will be for 1 week long. The timings will be 15th March to 21st March. The timings will be from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. And this will be, you have not written the venue here. This will be at Jahangir Art Gallery, which is one of the most famous art galleries. And also Jolina Radhanaswami Maharaj will be addressing the audience on 15th March at 7 p.m. at Jahangir Art Gallery, right? So, everybody is invited cordially with your family, friends. And Srila Haridas Thakur Prabhu, one of our very, very senior brahmacharis here, who has been here for 24 years. He is the one who has painted all the paintings here. You can see in the temple hall. So he has personally painted these beautiful paintings of Srila Prabhupada. I have seen them. And now this will be in the form of a book also. And also it will be there in the art gallery. So to honor Srila Prabhupada's appearance, 125th appearance day celebrations, all of you are invited for this. And the entry is free of cost, right? Yes, it is free of cost. Hare Krishna. So we will discuss from this section of Bhagavatam and the purport. So we are reading a very intense section where Bhishma Pitamaha is lying on a bed of arrows. Just imagine somebody lying on a bed of arrows. And every part of the body is pierced with arrows. How excruciatingly painful that must be, right? And lying on this bed of arrows, Bhishma Pitamaha, he is not complaining of pain. Most people, we get one small thorn, and there is pain, right? So most people in this world, they complain when they have pain. And very few people, they have the ability to tolerate. And still very few, or very, very rare, they are grateful for that suffering and for that pain. Tattenu kampam susumikshamanu, very, very rare. And still rarer are those who are not only grateful for what they are getting, but in that situation they are working for others. They are compassionate and they are helping others. That is extremely rare. And Bhishma Acharya, the great Mahajan, he is in extreme discomfort in one sense, arrows on his body, but he is giving solace to Maharaj Yudhishthira, who is in depression, who has felt very sad. He is accusing himself for the war. So you can understand the level at which Bhishma Pitama is in. Srila Prabhupada also, following the footsteps of Bhishma Pitama, when he was in excruciating bodily inconvenience, he was not only grateful to Krishna, he was thinking of others' welfare and he was serving others. That's why till the last moment he was translating. So there is one pastime, I think this is 1973 or 74 Vrindavan, where there was a fiasco. The devotees, in a desperation to please Srila Prabhupada, they told Prabhupada that the temple is ready. Construction has happened and the invitation should be sent. When Srila Prabhupada arrived there, he saw nothing is ready. He got very angry and he cancelled the entire inauguration ceremony. And then Prabhupada stayed there, saying that I will stay here till the construction happens. So during that period, it was extremely hot summer in Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada got malaria. And he was so sick that for 2 weeks, more than 2 weeks, he had 104 to 105 degree temperature. And he was not eating anything, not drinking anything. Once in 2-3 days, he would take one or two pieces of slices of orange. And that also he would not eat fully. And he was delirious also. And Prabhupada kept saying, my spiritual master left this world like this. I am also going to die like this. So devotees are feeling extremely sad to hear this. So then 24-hour kirtan started in all ISKCON temples all over the world to help Srila Prabhupada recover his health. So during this peak of complete illness, where Srila Prabhupada's body was completely uncooperative, in the sense he was very sick, he got the news that the governor of Uttar Pradesh had come to Vrindavan to meet one of his common friends. Srila Prabhupada had one friend. So then Srila Prabhupada told the disciples in that condition that invite that governor to our campus. So devotee said, yes, Srila Prabhupada will invite him and we'll manage the whole function. Srila Prabhupada was like, okay, you know. So they invited and the governor agreed to come. Now the governor gets the state honors. So when the governor came, there was a red carpet welcome arranged for him. The whole, you know, proper arrangements were made. And Srila Prabhupada insisted that he will come personally to welcome the governor because he wanted to preach and he wanted to make a case, because that time cement was strictly controlled by government, and for the temple construction the devotees needed cement. So they wanted to convince, Prabhupada wanted to make a case with the governor so that it can be taken to Indira Gandhi, like that. So Srila Prabhupada insisted and devotee said, no Srila Prabhupada, you are very sick, we will manage the program. Srila Prabhupada said, no, I want to go. I want to meet the governor. And he was no condition to even get up from the bed. Srila Prabhupada somehow got up and he couldn't even put tilak. So devotees had to put tilak for him. With so much difficulty, devotees had to hold him, and he somehow came walking till the gate where the governor was to be welcomed, and he stood there. And as soon as the governor came, Srila Prabhupada was erect, standing erect, straight, gave a big broad smile to the governor, shook hands with him, did namaskar and invited him to come to the stage, and they had made a stage and devotees were all sitting, guests were sitting in the audience, and Srila Prabhupada sat next to the governor, and the governor spoke for half an hour. He gave a lecture on how India should have industrialization and how we should progress, 5-year plan and all that, nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada was next to him sitting, nodding his head and sitting straight as if nothing has happened to him. Only the intimate devotees there knew that he is having this 104, 105 degree temperature for the last 2 weeks. And then not only that, after the governor spoke, he sat down, then Srila Prabhupada got up, he stood and he gave a talk. He spoke for 20 minutes in that condition. And devotees were scared, their hearts were beating, they thought Srila Prabhupada is going to collapse any moment now. Because it was on sheer willpower, right? You have to stand, because that was a service Srila Prabhupada wanted to do for his spiritual master of building a temple in Vrindavan. And then after that came the worst or the best part, whatever you want to see it, however you want to see it. After the class of Srila Prabhupada, after the talk, the devotees had organized a special dinner feast for the governor and his team. It was like a big, you know, kind of a 5-star arrangement. And Srila Prabhupada very graciously accompanied the governor to the dining area and he sat with him. You know, when we are very sick, we don't have any appetite, we can't eat anything. And Srila Prabhupada himself was not even eating one slice of orange. But when he sat next to the governor, he ate prasadam and he honored prasadam with him, just like, you know, when a host, when you invite a guest, how you are a good host. Srila Prabhupada honored prasadam. And all the while he's smiling, and the governor had no idea that this amazing transcendental personality is sick. And then after the dinner, Prabhupada escorted him to the gate, and all the while devotees were in anxiety. What will happen now? What will happen to Srila Prabhupada? And finally at the gate, the governor's car came, the governor sat inside, they did pranam, and the car left the from within the eyesight of Srila Prabhupada. As soon as the car left, Srila Prabhupada collapsed and the devotees held. Then of course the pastime, after a few weeks Srila Prabhupada got all right, and the ISKCON preaching continued. But I'm just giving one example of how, comparing this pastime with how Bhishma Pitama was in one sense that kind of condition, but thinking of helping others, thinking of preaching, the compassionate acharya, he follows the footsteps of Bhishma Pitama. Like, even if you see, this is just physical discomfort we are talking about. Even emotionally, when Srila Prabhupada was struggling very much, 6 or 7 times he went through business losses, and he had absolutely no, you know, he was real. At one point of time, when Srila Prabhupada was in Allahabad, Prayag, he had this pharmaceutical business. He owned one very special car, Buick. It was a Ford company car. At that time, only 2 people in Prayag had that car. One was the Governor General, the second was Srila Prabhupada. And he would give it to his nephew in the night time to use as a taxi also. Very, very well-to-do Srila Prabhupada was at one time. And now his business losses were so much But still he was constantly thinking of how to expand preaching. And then on the family front also some issues happened, and finally he had to leave home, and he left home in an emotional spiritual frenzy. We know it's transcendental pastime, but when he left home, when his wife had sold off the Bhagavatam, he was so sad that he left home without looking back. And that was the last time he was in that house. And when he left home and he went to one neighbor and he borrowed few rupees. And he walked up to the station, and then Srila Prabhupada realized he had nothing with him. He had left home without anything. And then he took a train to Jajigram, where one of his friends, Paramahamsa Maharaj, was staying. So he went to that matha, and he went there, and then Srila Prabhupada told him that I have come here, I have nothing. Srila Prabhupada at that time was in a situation of extremely volatile emotional and spiritual emotions. And he was without any financial support, without any emotional support, without any family support, nothing. He was all alone. In fact, he didn't even have money to buy dhoti and kurta, so he had to write a letter to the temple authorities after some days, and then they sanctioned, and then he got one dhoti and kurta. Even at that time, so at that time when Prabhupada came to that matha, whole day and night he would only be chanting, because it was like a defining moment, a crisis. He took shelter of Krishna. But immediately after that chanting, after a few days, he began to think of preaching. Continued his preaching. He would go to the printer in Delhi. And that printer, if you see, read Srila Prabhupada Lilamrit, that person says that when Abhay Babu was coming to me, I could see that he has not eaten food for many days. And when I would ask him, have you eaten your breakfast? He would change the topic. And finally, when I insisted, he would admit that he has not eaten. And then I would arrange some breakfast for him. But Abhay Babu was not interested in breakfast, was not interested in drinking, eating. He was only asking, when will this Back to Godhead get published? He was only interested in publishing, preaching. So the point we are trying to make is that what is common to Bhishma Pitama, Yudhishthir Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, all these great acharyas is, they live for the welfare of others. We cannot imitate. This is very important. If you have sick, if you have 104 degrees, don't go out and preach. So first you take care of your health. Go to a doctor. Don't say, "Arey, we have heard Prabhupada did that." No, please take care of your health. ISKCON has proper health ministry, which emphasizes on devotees to take care of health. And Srila Prabhupada said, if we imitate the Goswamis, you will die. So we can't imitate great souls. So this is very, very important clarification. But we have to see when we read this pastime, we get inspired. We get inspired to extend ourselves, to do a little bit extra for Prabhupada. That's all. And then we come out of our comfort zone. That is the inspiration we should take, not externally go beyond our capacity. So this is the point that devotees like Bhishma Pitama, Yudhishthir Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, they all extend themselves. They go beyond their bodily and physical and emotional needs to serve others. So this is the theme. And now here we are taking the specific verse, which is a long purport, 4 pages. Srila Prabhupada, and especially the today's section which we took in the purport, focuses on many themes. We can take 2 themes. One is Srila Prabhupada is writing about the reserve energy which human beings have. Srila Prabhupada says this reserve energy which all of us have should be used for self-realization and not for sense gratification. Now, all of us agree we have some reserve energy. Sometimes devotees say, Prabhu, our whole day goes in, you know, office, job, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, so much work, so much responsibility, so many duties. But there is another purport also where Srila Prabhupada writes the same thing, second canto, that humans have, even if they are very busy and we have no time, we always have some reserve energy. Every human being has. Otherwise, Facebook won't be so popular. You know, WhatsApp would not have been purchased for billions of dollars. You know, Netflix and Amazon Prime would not be flourishing business. You know, IPL would not be so famous. People had time. Definitely, reserve energy is there. But that reserve energy, unfortunately, for many people in this world, that is used for stimulating ourselves. We stimulate ourselves more and more. Especially 21st century, one of the biggest diseases, we like to stimulate ourselves more and more. So Prabhupada is appealing to us, the readers, that instead of stimulating ourselves, let us spend time relaxing and connecting to Krishna. Let us use that reserve energy to connect with to Krishna and have a spiritual purpose in life. And the second very powerful theme that Srila Prabhupada writes in this section of the purport is the last paragraph where he says, human life is meant for pleasing the Lord, and especially is writing instructions for grihasthas, that if they have deities at home, or if they are connected, if their life is centered on a deity, then they can continue their life as usual. Even Srila Prabhupada, when he was a child, he was very attached to deities. In fact, he says his impression of the spiritual life was when he was a young child, he would see his father do puja, worship. So Srila Prabhupada writes in Lilamrit, we see Prabhupada explains his father's daily schedule. We are talking about the year 1896 to 1910, that period. Gaur Mohan Day, Srila Prabhupada's daily schedule was, he would get up in the morning at 6 o'clock and then he would go to the outside to get flowers and fruits and things like that. He would go to the shop and then he would do puja at home of these deities. And that puja would go on till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And at 1 o'clock he would take lunch and then he would take little rest. And then he would go to his cloth shop. He had a cloth shop. And he would be in the shop and he would return at 10 o'clock in the night. And then again he would do puja. And Srila Prabhupada would be sleeping as a baby, as a small boy. He would hear the sound, ding, 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 the bell. And he would wake up. And then Gaur Mohan Day would sit and take little kurmura, puffed rice. And Abhay, Srila Prabhupada's childhood name, he would sit next to Gaur Mohan Day and he would also eat little kurmura. So he says this was his daily schedule. And his father, and Prabhupada says, my father's main business was puja. And little bit he was also doing some business. Basically the life was centered on deities, on Krishna consciousness. If you see, that is what Vedic culture was. If you see Madhavendra Puri's pastime also, you know, the whole villages came to serve Gopal. So I know many grihasthas who are so centered on the deities at their home, you know. Like once in Yatra, I went to one grihastha's room. They were in Fogla Ashram in Vrindavan. This Prabhuji, is in that room he had made an altar where he had kept photographs of his deities at home and made a nice altar in that room. And then he had to take some medicines, part of his something. So he took out that medicine. And before taking it, he put it in front of that photograph. I said, what are you doing? He said, anything goes inside, first I offer to Krishna. Even medicine. I said, basically I am taking his permission. So Krishna conscious. And I remember at that time, one devotee came and gave me and him, both of us, a gift of a pen. Pen set. So I put it in my bag. He took that pen, spontaneously took that pen set, he put it to the altar. I was so amazed. Anything he gets, he said, whenever we buy new clothes, whenever we cook anything, anything which is consumed, either through mouth or in any way, it is not for my enjoyment. Either, see, sometimes, you know, many times for grihasthas, it is very difficult, even for renounce order, what is because of grihasthas, it is very difficult for us to choose Krishna over Maya. Ideally, we should always be choosing Krishna over Maya. That is the life. A devoted life means no to Maya, yes to Krishna. But choice of Krishna becomes sometimes very difficult for a struggling sadhaka. But Krishna consciousness is so nice that even if you can't choose Krishna over Maya, at least you take permission of Krishna before you choose Maya. So that is why when the life is centered on deities, then we learn to make our priorities right and we learn to eventually purify our heart and we transcend our enjoyment desires. So therefore, this is very important. Community centered on a deity, you know, villages centered on the temple deity, family centered on deities like that. Like I was recently, last week, I had gone to Udupi. I could connect to this purport when I was reading it yesterday, that what I saw in Udupi, you know, I remember as a young boy, there, attending Rath Yatra there, they have every few days a procession of the cart in the temple car street. There is a Ratha Bidi, they call it. So it takes almost 1 hour, not more than 1 hour, that entire procession of the cart, temple, the Utsav Murti is brought. So I remember as a young boy, it used to be so crowded, that car street. Lakhs of people would be. My earliest memory is sitting on my grandfather's lap, shoulder, because there was so much crowd, no place to stand. So my grandfather would put me on his shoulder, and I would sit on his shoulder and look at the take part in the. So this time when I went, I was shocked. In that Rath Yatra procession, there were not more than 200 people. Everybody was at their homes, busy with latest breaking news and whatever, you know, Netflix or whatever, I don't know, entertainment. Basically, the point is, the reserve energy is used, instead of being connecting to Krishna, the reserve energy is used for stimulating ourselves, overstimulation. Even those few people who were there, more than 50% of them were not like this. You know, earlier, generally in front of the Lord, when procession is going, we are like this. Most of them were not like this. Most of them were like this. Like this, like this. They were taking selfies, and of course, I'm not judging their devotional mood. I'm just saying that overstimulation is a reality. The smartphones and gadgets, the dopamine kicks that we are getting is a reality. So therefore, Prabhupada is appealing to us that we need to connect to Krishna. Sometimes, many times, you know, we want to hear practical classes. Prabhuji, let us hear some. No, your class, this class was very practical. So what happens is, when we are saying practical, many times we may be looking for solutions or so-called practical things which can make our material life better. But Prabhupada wants us to connect to Krishna means enter Krishna's space. Spend some time in a space beyond my world, my problems, my life, my body, my mind. Let us enter the space of Krishna, where Krishna's pastimes, or now Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. It is in this area that we find shelter. So, when we use our reserve energy centered on deity means, we come and glorify the Lord. Like when we sang this Nava Gauravaram, this is nothing but pure glorification of Lord Chaitanya. If you see in this entire prayer, there is nothing like my problems, I am suffering. When we are suffering, we can go to Krishna. We should go to Krishna. That is right. But we can also spend time glorifying. Now, if you see in this entire prayer, Nava Gauravaram, which is chanted, Shachifutashtakam, it is all about the Lord. Lord's beautiful qualities. And that, and we are absorbed in this prayer, we are in Lord's space. Otherwise, 23 hours, 50 minutes, we are in our space, my space. So, spending the reserve energy in Krishna's space is what helps us connect to the Lord. That is what helps us experience shelter, a sense of belonging. Now, all of us, we agree that we need to feel safe. We need shelter, right? Every child, you've seen the child take shelter of parents. So, a sadhaka, when we are practicing Krishna consciousness, we are practicing the rules and regulations, the 16 rounds, these rituals, all of it is very important. But all of it is meant to take us to a position where we can find shelter. Where we are in a space where we are safe, where we feel I belong. You feel a sense of, this is my home, you know, home state. Like in the external world, when you are exhausted, tired, miserable, when you come home, how you feel? You feel shelter in the external world. Similarly, in our inner world, which is also a reality, we need a home. We need a place where we feel nothing to achieve now, nothing to do. I am here. The journey has ended. And I realized this in a very funny but very sobering way. Some years back on a Sunday morning, I was chanting my japa, and I was chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, the typical sadhaka struggle, and I was trying to listen to the holy name, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare, all that, intensity. So after the Guru Puja, when Grihastha came to me, he said, Prabhuji, what were you doing? I thought I was chanting. You were chanting very intensely. Why? I said, you know, I was trying to listen to the holy name. I was struggling. I was trying to control the mind. So he said, oh, really? Oh. Then I said, what happened, Prabhu? You are very thoughtful and pensive. You look very pensive. What happened? So he said, no, Prabhu. I was just thinking. No, this is his realization. He said, 6 days a week, I'm struggling so much outside. And I'm only thinking when I will get to go to Chaupati temple, Radha Gopinath temple. And I can feel that shelter. I can feel I'm safe. I can feel I've come home. I feel a sense of belonging when I enter the temple premises. Because 24 hours, 6 days a week, I'm only dealing with material energy. I'm struggling like anything, Prabhu. And when I entered today and I saw you, I got the realization that you're also struggling. What I am going through 6 days a week, you are going through here. Why you have to struggle, Prabhuji? You are living in a place which is the destination for us. That was like, wow, that was an epiphany, moment of epiphany for me. I realized, we have to struggle all the time, but we need to also spend some time when we are not struggling, when we are with Krishna, when we are in a state of being. Otherwise, we are only doing. We are not human doing, we are human being, remember that. So just like in the external world, we need a home, we need to feel shelter. Even in our inner world, we need a home. For some devotees, I know it is Bhagavatam. I know one devotee who can be in the deity room whole day. That is his shelter, the altar. He can keep doing seva, he can wash pots, he can cook, he can dress the deities. He's just at home when he's with the deities. I remember once we were coming from Borivali to Mumbai in car. That was a very bad day. There was a traffic jam. The trains were also not there. It was so bad that it took 6 hours from Borivali. Interesting, from Borivali to Bandra, there is no traffic signal. But still, there is so much traffic jam. So 6 hours it took to come to temple, and that entire journey was miserable. The AC was not there in the car. And you know, a lot of honking and all that frustration. It was hot. But I remember when I came to temple, when I came to my room in the temple, specifically within the temple, and I entered, the kind of relief I felt. And just sat on the chair and the bed, and then arams I got up. I don't know, I forgot the watch. I just took bath, relaxed. For the next almost 7-8 hours, I was there only. I didn't get out of the room. That shelter, you know, that sense of physical shelter. I'm talking just like in the physical world we need shelter. Similarly, in our minds, whole day we are dealing with so many people, we are negotiating, we are working, we have deadlines with the boss, we have relationship issues. So many things are causing traffic jam in our head. So much of clutter. So at such times, in our inner world also, we need a place where I know I'm safe, where I'm sheltered. I belong here. And all of us, if you spend some time, you will intuitively know what is your home state. But unfortunately, the noise outside is so loud that we can't hear that voice, our own voice. And that voice is drowned. Therefore, our acharyas, Vaishnava acharyas, have given us the 64 items of devotional service. Explore, experiment, see, find your home state, find those areas. Like, there are so many items, you know, and one of them, I think the 11th item is equilibrium in loss and gain. In the sense, this overstimulation, the kind of environment we are living in nowadays, you're not encouraged to be in your inner home state. You are encouraged to be always agitated and stimulated. Constantly. I mean, people can't live without their smartphones for a few moments. So, our acharyas have given us this process. And what Yudhishthira Maharaj is doing? Emperor of the planet is humbly hearing from Bhishma Pitama. So when we experience like this, in that process of hearing, which Yudhishthira Maharaj is doing now, which we are doing now, and which we generally do, hearing and chanting is our foundation. And when we hear and chant also without an agenda, you know, like many of you have come here, you have come to this class innocent, you don't know what I am going to speak, but that faith you have shown, right? Similarly, when we approach scriptures, when we approach Krishna in that mood, that is when we find shelter. Actually, I remember I had gone with Govind Prabhu to Sri Lanka a few years back for a yatra. And it was so obvious to me because morning I was giving class on seminars, you know, like how to, eight ways to avoid offenses, 4 ways to manage mind, or those kind of seminars in the morning, and people were writing notes and they were hearing. And the evening, the same crowd, because all of us had gone from Mumbai only, and that yatra was organized by the BTG team, and evening there was pure Ram Katha. Yuddhakanda, we were discussing the Yuddhakanda, the entire, you know, Ravana, Ram, all that, all the 9 days of war, and pure katha. And then in the end of the yatra, I saw devotees were sharing, and they said, Prabhu, Ramayana ka jo description hai, the details, the finer details, you know, Hanuman entering Lanka, all those details, and hearing Ramayana was so nourishing. Everybody was appreciating this. And I also realized that when I was speaking about Ramayana and when devotees were hearing Ramayana from Govind Prabhu, it was all, Ramayana was all about, not about me. It was about Lord Ram. But all the practical seminars was about me. But ultimately when we hear and glorify the Lord purely and when we are in Lord's space, we find shelter, we find peace. And we need to discover that. We need to spend some time every day in our home state, where we don't have something to achieve, where we are not trying to remove some discrepancy in our life, where we have already reached the destination. We are not trying to go somewhere. That is why, if now the Gaur Purnima is coming, and if you see, we are going to read Gaur Leela, we are going to hear the same pastime which we have been hearing every year. So why we read the same stories again and again? Bhagavatam, when it just begins, Sukadeva Goswami just begins speaking to Parikshit Maharaj. He explains the science behind this. He says, he begins by saying, you know, people are just attached to sex life, eating, sleeping, and there are hundreds of topics, but they don't hear about Krishna. And after two shlokas, he comes to the main essence. He says, Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyascha Bhayam. Tasmad means, therefore, O King Parikshit. So he begins his discourse by saying, therefore what you should do? Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma, O descendant of Bharata, Sarvatma, the soul of the universe, who is that? Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari, Lord Hari. What about him? Shrotavya, hear about him. Kirtitavyascha, glorify him. And Smartavya, remember him. What will happen? Chechata Bhayam, you will become fearless. All the clutter will go away. All the anxieties will go away. So we could spend some time in that home state, in that space where we find that shelter. Many times, you know, we want to hear something new, which is good, which we need, because one of the human needs is to learn, grow, that is there. But we also underestimate the potency of hearing the same pastimes again and again. And to the extent we are attentive and prayerful, we will access Krishna's presence through those katha, that katha, and we receive Krishna. And especially when we are hearing Bhagavatam, we are reading something which is eternal. We are hearing something which is beyond time, which is timeless. We are basically, when we are hearing Bhagavatam or studying Bhagavatam, what we are doing is we are entering a space of no time. Like, for example, I think many of you must have experienced, when you go to a natural forest or you go to a mountain top or you go to vast ocean, do you feel peace? Many people, you know, in the morning you see so many people come to Chaupati Beach, and people go, when they are stressed, they go in a garden, they sit in the park under a banyan tree. Like, there is a banyan tree close to our temple near Hanging Garden. I also go there. I've seen some devotees come there also. And we have this temple hall, which is ancient, where traditions are followed. Whenever we go to that area, such places, we feel safe. We feel a sense of peace. Isn't it? Have you experienced? Has anyone experienced peace when you went to a forest or a mountain trekking? We feel like that, right? You know, there's science behind that, why it happens. Like when you go to an ancient, like Jagannath Puri, when you go to a place and when you go there and you know that these traditions are followed for thousands of years. When you go to Srirangam, traditional ancient temple, that temple hall when you enter, what happens is the stillness and the serenity of that area, it fills our souls with an ineffable joy. Because, see this, for example, this temple hall, many devotees I've seen, they say, Prabhu, when we just come to temple, we feel so nice. We feel so nourished. What is it about temple hall? Here, for example, just giving an example, here for the last 35 years, 33 years, same activity is going on every day. Japa, morning program, worship of deity, six times, bhoga offering. So when something is consistently happening for days and decades, we feel shelter there. Because there is something common to all this phenomena. And what is common is, see, when we come close to someone or something which has been for ages, then we also feel that we are also timeless. We are also deathless. Because inside this body, there is a soul which doesn't die. Right? We all know this philosophy. Soul is covered by this body. Soul doesn't die. Soul is eternal. That is why when you're sitting under a huge banyan tree or when you go to an ancient temple, you feel peace because the soul who is residing within this perishable body has found shelter connected to an eternal space. That is why advanced Vaishnavas, they love to hear Bhagavatam. When they hear Bhagavatam, they are in that space. I remember some years ago when I had gone to one place in Australia, Perth. So I have this habit of going for walks. So I requested the devotee, I'm going for a walk. So I went like that, you know, lane by lane, like that. Like I went somewhere deep inside. And it was a small town within Perth. Perth is also like it is far west of Australia. So I went that lane somewhere and suddenly, to my shock, and all I only saw was, you know, Australians or some Africans. And suddenly in one lane I saw a huge board. It was a restaurant. And the board said, it was a big photo of Udupi Krishna. And next to it was written, Udupi Krishna Vegetarian Restaurant. I was like, wow, 10,000 miles from where my hometown, I see in this strange land. I became emotional just seeing that. No devotee anywhere. And suddenly Udupi Krishna Restaurant. I was like, I went inside, I saw, let me see who is this. I saw some Chinese people there and then they said their owner has gone and all that. But then I'm just giving the point that when I became emotional because I connected to something which belonged to me, my sense of identity, right? So when devotees, when they connect to the limbs of bhakti, the 64 items of devotional service, somewhere you will find that connection with Krishna. You will feel, this is me. Satchinandan Maharaj, I was hearing one of his classes recently. He was saying, spend some time to ask yourself, what is it in Krishna consciousness that is alive in you? What is it that is you? What is it that defines you? What is it that if everybody in the world gives up Krishna consciousness and there is no devotee in the world, what is it that will help you keep going on in bhakti? Find out that. That is your connection with Krishna. So basically that is how we enter the state of the eternity. And that's how we get connected. So we can spend some time every day, our reserve energy, what we have, instead of spending all that reserve energy on our smartphones, on the virtual world, we can spend some time in that space. Like Krishna did pastime 5,000 years ago, right? When he incarnated on this planet. But those pastimes are eternal. They are happening in some planet right now. In some part of the universe they are happening. And because they are eternal and they are timeless, so when we submissively hear those pastimes with an open heart, we also will find shelter. I don't know if you have, some of you, when you were children, when you visited your ancestral house in your village, or you saw your grandfather, elderly, you know, Isolina Pradhana Samya Maharaj writes about his grandfather in Journey Home, that just seeing him eat his lunch soberly or carry out his duties, you know, young Richard found peace and shelter because he seemed ageless. When we spend time with somebody who is very old, you know, we feel peace. Because we are also ageless. The soul is also very old at the same time, Navayovanam. So when we enter that Lord's pastimes, in Lord's space, that catapults us to that realm of existence. And for each one of us, it could be different. So the scriptures repeatedly therefore declare that hear about Krishna, glorify Krishna, and this is identical because hearing and chanting is same as Lord's transcendental nature. So when we are hearing and chanting, we are actually associating with Krishna. And this brings freedom from all fears. Smartavya chechata bhayam abhayam. And hearing about Krishna also means hearing about Krishna's devotees. This is what we are doing now. Those of you who have come today for the first time for Bhagavatam class of this section, you will see here it is Bhishma Pitama's glories being revealed to us. We are hearing about Bhishma's glories. So, if you see our Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur has authored, if you see Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami have written, if you see both of them, they begin the glorification of Lord Chaitanya only after having glorified their spiritual masters and devotees of the Lord. So, the essence of the relationship with Lord in our Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition is, we always see God in connection with devotees and spiritual masters. And this humility, this is the starting point of our relationship with Krishna. So here if you see, Bhishma Pitama is getting mercy. Krishna has brought him and Bhishma says, I am getting mercy of Krishna because I have affection for Pandavas. And of course he says out of humility. And we are glorifying Bhishma. If you see Bhagavatam, we glorify Kunti, we glorify Prahlad, we sing the glories of Ritrasur, Gajendra. All these devotees are glorious because they are in relation with Krishna. And therefore, when we are glorifying these devotees, that is also Krishna Katha. Generally, we are so full of ourselves that for us, appreciating others also is generally in relation to me only, in my connection only. I remember just a couple of Sundays ago, in one of the programs in Borivali, I did this exercise. You know, we asked the devotees in the program, it was a seminar. So I told them, okay, appreciate some devotee, whom you really want to appreciate from your heart. So everybody appreciated somebody who has done something for them. And then this was the first round. Then I said, okay, now we will now appreciate that same person, not for what he has done to you, but for who he is, independent of you. What if you didn't exist on this planet? What are his glories? And that appreciation was more fulfilling. Of course, we need to appreciate and be grateful for whatever gifts we get. But there is also a reality beyond me. Like, you know, one devotee told me that, Prabhuji, this devotee is so nice. You know, he always gives me Mahaprasad. So I heard him and then he was sharing all this. He's such a nice heart. I said, okay, now imagine you didn't exist. What are his good qualities? So then he thought for some time and he said, Prabhuji, he's so nice. Every day he's serving prasadam and he's always having the service attitude. So he started appreciating him without he being in the picture. Are you getting it? This is the second level. Then I said, okay. Now let us go to the third level of appreciation. This devotee whom you are appreciating, can you remember or can you think of Prabhupada or Acharyas or Krishna's pastimes or something from the eternal space connected to this devotee's appreciation that you are having? So then he said, one nice pastime of how Srila Prabhupada went with his disciples to Vishakhapatnam in 1975-76. And there they stayed in one Gaudiya Mutt of Prabhupada's godbrother, Puri Maharaj, where there was an elderly devotee who was Prabhupada's godbrother, but he was serving prasadam and cooking prasadam and feeding all Prabhupada's young 20-25-year-old disciples every day, morning and evening, for the 10 days that they stayed there. And devotees were stunned to see his service attitude, and Srila Prabhupada in the last day he said, so this Prabhuji, his name is Ananda Das. Prabhupada said, so, you want to know who is a Vaishnava? This is a Vaishnava, Ananda Das. So you should always learn from him how to have service attitude. Now all these things was told to me by who? By this devotee who was appreciating another devotee who has a service attitude. So after a few days, and this devotee told me, Prabhuji, you know, after I spoke to you about that pastime of Prabhupada, whenever I see this devotee, I remember that Ananda Das Brahmachari, that devotee. So what has happened? He has now taken his gratitude and appreciation to the next level. Not only is appreciating a devotee, not simply for what he has received from him, but also for his inherent goodness. And then he is also appreciating him and remembering Krishna. Remembering Krishna's pure devotee. That's how we expand. So therefore, this is how Krishna consciousness can be practiced. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would do this also. Dui shloke kahe Prabhu, haila maha sukha, nija bhakta guna kahe hana pancha mukha. Mahaprabhu would glorify his devotees as if he had five mouths. And here we see, Krishna is glorifying Bhishma Pitama. Bhishma is glorifying Krishna. And Yudhishthira Maharaj is also, see, this is very sacred, because Bhishma could be easily misunderstood as somebody who sided with the wrong people. You know, so many ideas we may have in our head about another devotee, but why do we have to wait for him to die for his glories to be revealed to the world? When he is alive, why not? And life can be bewildering for the best of us. What Bhishma Pitama did can be bewildering, but that is life. But if we have the shelter of hearing and chanting, then we will, as we get older, we get respite, we get shelter. And if you see some of the greatest sannyasis who are not bhakti yogis, they also, during their last moments, they take shelter of Bhagavatam only. Some of you may be knowing, Anmol Prabhu and Arati Mataji, they teach yoga in Govardhan Eco Village. So they were telling me that as part of their becoming yoga teachers, they did lot of study. They went to many yoga schools. Some of the top yoga schools is Bihar School of Yoga, and they went to other schools also in South India. And after visiting so many yoga schools, they learned something which increased my faith in Srimad Bhagavatam. They said, Prabhu, when we read about the greatest acharyas of these yoga schools, they are all impersonalist mayavadis. But when they were dying in their ripe old age, this is officially in their biographies, when they were dying, they were feeling so lonely and so painful, and their disciples were giving them whatever affection, service, and they were insisting that read Bhagavatam. Because that shelter is found in Krishna Katha. And if you see, this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also taught us through his instruction, through his disciples, through his followers, that all that speculation, you know, suffering that we go through can all be negated if we have the simple shelter of hearing and chanting. Like, there is an amazing pastime in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sanatan Goswami, he was at one point of time on the verge of suicide. Of course, this is a pastime, I want to clarify. He didn't commit suicide. But he was thinking that my life is useless. I cannot serve the Lord because I have all boils on my body. Now, Sanatan Goswami, when coming to Jagannath Puri, drank some contaminated water. And he got a lot of boils on his body, and that was oozing all pus and mucus and foul smelling. Horrible. When he came to Jagannath Puri, he said, my God, what a horrible body I have. I cannot serve the Lord. I will throw this body in Rath Yatra under the cart and I will give up this life. He was contemplating suicide. And who is Sanatan Goswami? He was at one time the Prime Minister of Bengal. Such a high position he had. Prime Minister of Bengal, don't think of modern day Bengal, ruled by some politician. We are talking about Bengal of 15th century, which included a lot of far eastern states, which was as big as two or three European countries of today. So he was the Prime Minister of this country, and he is now so shattered that he is thinking of suicide. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, understanding his mind, scolds him in Jagannath Puri. Mahaprabhu tells him, Kubuddhi chadiya kara shravana kirtan. Give up your kubuddhi, means wrong buddhi. Give up. And do what? Kubuddhi chadiya kara shravana kirtan. Achirat pabe tabe krishne ra charan. Very soon you will get Krishna's lotus feet. Don't think of suicide. See, life can be overwhelming to Sanatan Goswami also, and to you and me also. Of course, Sanatan Goswami's difference is he is pure associate of the Lord and it is a pastime of the Lord. But the Lord is teaching us that material life can be like being in a juicer or a mixer where we go through, you know, a lot of purification. But when we have good association, and in that association when we hear and chant, all problems are solved. Sometimes devotees say, Prabhuji, how can problems be solved? Somebody may be in depression, how can hearing chanting solve the problem? No, when I say hearing chanting, hearing chanting includes within it the principle of association. And association includes guidance, practical guidance. You know, devotees are very, very practically, they guide us. So if there is a need for a person to go to a psychologist, if there is a person to consult an astrologer, if there is a need for a person to do whatever is needed, the devotees will guide accordingly. So when we say hearing and chanting shelter will solve all problems, what we are saying is, hearing and chanting in association of devotees under the guidance of devotees. And then also when we are doing hearing and chanting, Krishna is pleased within the heart and Krishna guides us to the right kind of association. Yudhishthir Maharaj was so despondent after the war. Arjuna was despondent before the war. Arjuna was guided by Krishna directly. But the same Krishna could not convince Yudhishthir Maharaj after the war when Yudhishthir Maharaj was blaming himself. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, Krishna outside of Yudhishthir Maharaj was convincing him, but Krishna could not convince because there was Krishna in Yudhishthir Maharaj's heart also. And that Krishna was telling Yudhishthir Maharaj, don't listen to Krishna outside. So Yudhishthir Maharaj could not be convinced by Krishna because Krishna wanted to reveal the glory of Bhishma Pitama. And how, for some like Arjuna, Krishna directly will help the devotee. And for somebody like Yudhishthir Maharaj, Krishna only is helping through a devotee. And what did Yudhishthir Maharaj do? He did submissive hearing from Bhishma Pitama. So this culture of hearing and chanting from Krishna and representatives of Krishna is actually going to solve all the problems of 21st century, which is a highly overstimulated environment where we are living in, hyper anxiety. Overstimulation means basically physiologically and psychologically being overburdened with more information, more load than what you can process. All of us are bombarded with so much. So therefore, when we are chanting Hare Krishna, we are hearing from Krishna directly because we are supposed to listen to the holy name. And when we are studying scriptures or hearing Bhagavatam class, we are hearing from devotees. So both hearing and chanting, if we do, we get the best. And Sanatana Goswami is the best example. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu scolds him that what is this stupid idea of giving up your life? And again, understand who is Sanatana Goswami. When he was a small boy, he got the gift of Bhagavatam in his dream. And when he woke up from the dream, that person who gave him the Bhagavatam in his dream appeared outside of him and gave him the gift of Bhagavatam. He was so advanced. And his grandfather, who raised Rupa and Sanatan and Anupam, he had a government job in Nawab Hussain Shah's kingdom. So he ensured that Rupa Sanatan studied under Vidya Vachaspati. And they became experts in grammar, philosophy, scriptures, logic, all that. But during those days, you know, just like nowadays you need to know English. People think, you know, you need to do MBA like that. During those days, knowledge of Arabic and Farsi was very, very important if you had to be really good for successful. So Mukundadev, grandfather of Rupa and Sanatan, he had a friend, Fakhruddin, who was at Saptagram, was a very big Muslim scholar. And he had many mullahs in his kingdom, Maulvis. So Mukundadev sent Rup Sanatan, Amar and Santosh was their childhood name. He sent them to study under this Fakhruddin. And they studied Arabic and Farsi and they became better than all the other Muslims in that school. They became so expert and smart. But they would come home and read Bhagavatam only. And they ended up becoming ministers, prime minister and finance minister of Nawab Hussain Shah. So you have to understand that such a position also a person can be overwhelmed. And you know how they became minister? That's a very interesting story. There are two books, Dr. Naresh Chandrajan's book called Che Goswami and Baba Krishnadas in his commentary on Ujjwal Nilamani. They explain how Sanatan Goswami landed up, Amar went on to become Sakar Malik. And then, you know, a prime minister of Nawab Hussain Shah. So Nawab Hussain Shah made a tower for himself. So there was one servant called Piru. He made a very big mason. He made a very nice tower for Nawab Hussain Shah. So Nawab Hussain Shah said, excellent. I will reward you. I will give you a reward. Whatever you ask, I will give you. So he said, thank you, my dear majesty. Actually, you know, I can make a tower even better than this. Out of great excitement, he said that. But Nawab Hussain Shah is a very cruel king. So when he heard that, he got angry. He said, rascal, you can make better than this. Then why you didn't make better than this? Why you made this? That means you will make a better mansion for my rival, for my enemy. So then he was standing on the top of that tower. So he told his servant, throw him down. Kill him. He said, no, but my dear majesty, you just now told me that you will reward me. He said, okay, I'll give you one reward and then I'll kill you. What reward do you want? So he said, give me, okay, at least this mansion which you built, at least name it after me. So that was called as Piru Mandir. It was named after him. And then that fellow was thrown and he died. And next day, again, now Bhushansha came to see that tower. He was very happy, but he was very angry because some part of it was not complete. So he was saying, how to complete this? So he looked at his, he had this sepoy, bodyguard, Hinga. His name was Hinga, Hinga Khan. He said, hey, Hinga. He looked at that, pointing to that. He said, you go to, he said one village, name of one village, Moragram. You go to Moragram and then he paused because at that very moment, Naubhushan Shah's friend, Murashid, he called him from behind. He said, oh, your majesty. So then Naubhushan Shah looked back. He said, oh, Murashid, they embraced, they started talking. For this sipai was standing, Hinga. He got scared. The king has given him an order, but didn't complete it. Go to Moragram. And he didn't say what to do. So he got scared. He said, now if I go and ask the king will, I can't ask him because he's a king. And he's a cruel despot. You know, he can do anything to me. But if I don't ask him, what will I do by going to Moragram? So he got so confused. So he went to that village and he was roaming there like a madman. He was like wondering what I'm supposed to do, what I'm supposed to do. And then he got scared. What if the king calls me tomorrow and says, kaam kiya nahi, maine bola tha tumko. So then he may punish me. But I can't even ask him also. So what do I do? So he got confused. But here his father was good friends with, I think he was close friends with Amar and Santosh. Rupa and Sanatan. So he told them his dilemma. And Sanatan Goswami was so smart, he asked him, wait, so what did he tell you? So he did investigation. He asked him many questions. So before telling, before looking at Murashid, what was he pointing at? He was pointing at that mansion. What is that called? That is called Piru Mansion. Why is it called Piru Mansion? Because it was named after Piru. Where is that fellow? He was thrown from the building. Why was he thrown from the building? So all that story he understood. And then he understood, oh, that means he was wanting some expert mason to complete it. So you go to Moragram and get the 15 or 10 or 15 best masons from there and present them before the king. So he liked the idea. So he went to Moragram, got 15 best masons. He brought them to Nawab Hussain Shah and said, Jahanpana, here are these 15 masons from Moragram. You had told me to go to Moragram. He said, I remember, but I didn't complete the instruction. My friend Murashid had come that time. How did you understand? He just kept his head down. Now Vishal was very happy. He said, you are so intelligent. I didn't even tell you. You deserve to be a prime minister. So he said, no. Actually, my friend Amar told me. He said, oh, really? Then he asked Murashid, who is this? And Murashid said, "Arey, these two brothers, Amar and Santosh, they are so smart. They are better than all the Maulvis and all the Muslims. They know Arabic, Farsi, Sanskrit, grammar. They are very intelligent. And anyway, you want to control the Hindu community. So if you want to control the Hindu community, best is to make them ministers. And they are very talented. So then, Naubhushan Shah called for them. He offered them. And they said, we don't want to be your prime minister and finance minister. And then he said, if you want to protect the Hindu community. So then they understood that it is good if they become prime minister and finance minister. And they agreed to save the Hindu community. And when they became prime minister and finance minister, they were so good. They would dress. They would walk around. They would talk like the aristocratic ministers of Naubhushan Shah. But in the evening, they would come back to their, they had created a Kadamba Kanan Vrindavan in their own palace, in their own house. And there they would spend whole time in Radha Kund, Shyam Kund, reading Bhagavatam, glorifying Krishna. Means they were so intelligent. That's what I'm trying to say. The background of Sanatan Goswami is that he was not somebody, somebody who was a very naive person. Somebody who had clarity, who had intelligence, but life can be overwhelming for any of us. That is the point. And what did Mahaprabhu tell him? Do hearing and chanting. And not only that, Rup Sanatan were serving Vaishnavas. They made so many facilities. You know, in Vrindavan, when now devotees are seeing, they are seeing so many facilities for Krishna consciousness. So when you do that, you get a lot of blessings of devotees and you get power also. Because Lord gives that. Like Vibhishan got, our Anandulal Prabhu was telling me that Vibhishan got, because he pleased Vaishnavas, he got kingdom of Lanka also. And you got blessings of devotees also. So like that, and Rupa and Sanatana are so intelligent that when Mahaprabhu, they were writing letters to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again and again, that please accept us. And Mahaprabhu did not reply only. And finally he just said one line reply, saying that if a girl loves a man other than her husband, she will serve her husband even more carefully. That much only, one line. They were so intelligent, they understood what Lord Chaitanya is saying. I mean, they were not, that's what I'm saying, they were very intelligent. And Rupa Sanatana were so amazing that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually going to Vrindavan, he takes a detour and comes to Ramkeli to meet both of them. That is how powerful, I mean, that, see, generally servant goes to meet Lord. We go to Dham, no? Lord coming, that to detour. And there after meeting Rupa Sanatana, Sanatana Goswami tells Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that actually you should not go to Vrindavan with all these devotees. You should go alone. Because, you know, it is a little serene and you will not appreciate it. Mahaprabhu smiled, but Mahaprabhu continued going to Vrindavan. And after reaching Kanai Natshala, he remembered, Sanatana was right. People will think I am some magician, some coming with a big group. I should go back. Mahaprabhu took the advice of Sanatana Goswami. He was such a person that he could advise the Lord also. And this person, Sanatana Goswami, was so intelligent that when they went with Ishan, he was escaping. That escaping from the prison of Naubhasansha, that's another amazing dramatic story. When Mahaprabhu sent a letter saying that leave, join me in Vrindavan, Rupa Goswami immediately left. But because the force of circumstances, Sanatana Goswami could not leave. And they also thought that both of them had very high post, finance minister and, see, the title they got, Sakar Malik. Sakar Malik means, Sakar is derived from the word Sagir. So in Persian and Arabic, Sagir means the next to the king. And Malik is coming from Malik. Next to the Malik. That means, Nawabhisen Shah had made Sanatana Goswami as next to him. And Rupa Goswami had got the title Dabir Khas. It is derived from the Persian word Dabire Khas. A Khas means very, very confidential. And what is the most confidential thing for a king, which is very sensitive, which is money? For the finance minister, Dabir Khas was Rupa Goswami. So such a high position both of them had, and they knew that they cannot leave immediately. So Rupa Goswami sneaked out first. And he sent a coded, encrypted letter to Sanatana Goswami saying that 10,000 gold coins are kept with this merchant and you take it to escape. And Sanatana Goswami understood after reading the letter where is the gold coins kept, how much coins are kept, and then that Sheikh Habu was the gatekeeper of the prison. Sanatana Goswami, when he was the prime minister, he had done him some favors. So now he's telling him, I will give you 5,000 gold coins. Release me. He was giving him bribe. And Sheikh Habu said, how can I leave you? You know, the Nawabhisen Shah will tell me. Nawabhisen Shah had put Sanatana Goswami in jail because Sanatana Goswami refused to continue being a prime minister. So then Sanatana Goswami said, see, actually, I want to go to Hajj, Makkah, you know. So, and you have to help another fellow Muslim, no, for holy pilgrimage. And by the way, there is 2,000 gold coins extra I'll give you. So he said, very good, very good. You should go to Hajj. So I don't know whether it was Hajj incentive or whether it was 2,000 gold coins extra. So he got 7,000 gold coins. So he was expert in bribing also and getting out of the jail. And he told him, you tell the Nawabhisen Shah that you took me to the Ganga to pass stool to respond to call of nature and I slipped and I fell into the river and I drowned. So many ideas he could give, he could escape. And when escaping, he had his servant Ishan and they went to one place, Patara, one place where it was a hilly mountainous region. And because Sanatana Goswami is a prime minister earlier, he knew that mountain regions, he knew that there were dacoits here. And that hotel owner, he was very nice with Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami was so smart, he could understand by people's behavior. You know, how he's talking. He said, he's being too kind to me. Then he looked at Ishan and said, Ishan, are you carrying some gold coins with you? He was so smart, he understood. And Ishan said, yes, I'm carrying 7 gold coins. Give it to me. Sanatana Goswami took the 7 gold coins, went to that hotel owner and said, take the 7 gold coins and help us get out of this mountainous region. And that hotel owner was shocked. He said, actually, I was thinking of killing you in the night. You are so honest and simple that you are giving me the gold coins. I am touched. You please keep it with you. So Sanatana Goswami said, no. If I keep it, somebody else will kill me. You take it. So this is how intelligent he was. He knew how to live in this world, how to negotiate, how to manage life in this world. And he was overwhelmed. That is the point I'm trying to make. And then when they were escaping again, he looked at Ishan, because the body language se malum padta na aadmi ke andar kya hai. So Sanatan Goswami is telling him, are you still carrying some gold coins? He said, I have actually one gold coin I still have. He said, see, Sanatan Goswami knew that. He said, you are depending on gold coin, I am depending on Krishna. You get out, leave me. So he left him, and alone Sanatan Goswami traveled. So imagine, for 7 gold coins people could murder. And Rupa Goswami, I was reading this book, OBL Kapoor's book. When Rupa Goswami left the Naubhasen Shah's kingdom, you know how many gold coins he gave in charity? 22 lakh gold coins for the service of Vaishnavas. Means how wealthy they were, how wealthy Rupa Sanatan were, what position they had. And then Sanatan Goswami comes to Chandrasekhar Acharya's house in Varanasi, and he's not wanting to go inside. He doesn't knock on the door. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is inside. He's not wanting to go inside because he's feeling so unqualified. See, here is Sanatan Goswami, the prime minister. Few days before, when he was the prime minister, big landlords and army chiefs, they all were waiting in line outside his palace to get an appointment with him. And now he is a person, he's feeling so humble and devotional that he's waiting outside. Because when you have a desire, you may not knock on the door, but your desire is knocking on the door of the Lord's heart. So the Lord comes out, Lord gives him mercy. So like this, we see Sanatan Goswami is such an exalted position, and Mahaprabhu tells him that. So I'll end with this one last verse which Mahaprabhu tells him. I'm just going fast forward. Mahaprabhu says, this is a very, very important verse. When Sanatan Goswami, Mahaprabhu scolds him, don't commit suicide. Mahaprabhu tells him, just do hearing chanting. And then he says, Bhajanera Madhya Sreshtha Nava Vida Bhakti Krishna Prema Krishna Dhite Dhare Mahashakti. The highest bhajan you should do, the ninefold devotional service, and by that you will get Krishna. And that is extremely powerful. And within those ninefold devotional service, Tara Madhya Sarva Sreshtha Nama Sankirtan Nirapradhe Nama Loile Pabe Prema Dhan. Naam Sankirtan is the highest. And Mahaprabhu says, Haridas Thakur, Sanatan, you are both very good friends. Just stay here, do Sankirtan, associate with each other, hear and chant, take prasad. And Mahaprabhu would get prasad from the Jagannath temple for both of them. But they could not enter the Lord's temple, but the Lord would come out to give them prasad. So this is the way Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us through his most intimate devotee, Sanatan Goswami. And Krishna is teaching us through Bhishma Pitama. That it is the process of hearing and chanting which will actually help us take shelter of Krishna, especially in this highly overstimulated world where we are constantly being agitated and provoked by the mass weapons of distraction. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any are there any questions or comments? But before that, one more reminder, we are having Chaitanya Charitamrit Marathon for the next 7 days, and all the languages Chaitanya Charitamrit available: Kannada, Bengali, Odia, Telugu, Tamil, Marathi, Gujarati, Hindi and English, and it will be 50% discount. So please avail this facility. Hare Krishna. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande.